name is Barry Allen. I am the fastest man alive.
RandomChatter.com presents a Flash podcast.
You see that red blur?
Dedicated to the discussion of the Flash television series.
A lot to discuss.
Scarlet Velocity.
Run, Barry, run!
Welcome to Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast. Thanks for slowing down for a moment. I'm your host, Josh.
And I'm Hunter Zolomon. I have to tell you now that I've never actually been Jay.
Wait, really? Oh. Dang it.
Burst your bubble.
That's a big bubble to burst. Hey, I've known you forever. All right, well, I don't know that I'm going to be able to remember to call you Hunter, so I'm just going to go ahead and call you Jay for now. But for those of you that are joining us for the first time, just call him Jay, too. Maybe it'll help him. If you've discovered the number one, you've discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show, The Flash, with discussion and commentary on all the various episodes, including this week's big bombshell. So...
Ba-boom.
Jay.
Yes.
I'm just going to tell you that just to spite you. I need you to help me work through this week. There's a lot to discuss. There's a lot to absorb. So why don't you tell us what we're talking about so we can maybe work through it.
Well, we're on episode 18 of the second season. And I guess because the show is titled The Flash, we can assume that the full title of this episode would be The Flash versus Zoom, but really it's just versus Zoom, which I thought was nice that they didn't just do the V Zoom.
Oh, yes, you know, I agree with you. Wasn't there an old video game that started with versus something? I don't even remember. I think there was.
Possibly.
Back in the day, back at the bowling alley. All right, versus Zoom.
Yeah, originally aired April 19th of 2016, written by Joe Pericchio and David Cobb, and directed by Stefan Plzeski. I think I did a pretty good job on that one, if I must say so myself. So, all right, well, you know, you better order some Keystone City Pizza takeout, because you're going to need to sit down and conserve your energy, a.k.a. the Speed Force, to fully absorb the origins of Zoom. It seems that our sinister speedster really is Hunter Zolomon. That's right, Hunter Zolomon. And his childhood definitely was the stuff of nightmares. After witnessing the brutal murder of his mother at the hands of his deranged father, young Hunter grew up in an orphanage, ultimately growing into a psychopathic monster that he is today. But never fear, because Barry and Team Flash have been working to increase his speed with Tachyon Power, TM. Now, Barry feels that he's stronger than Zoom. He convinces a very reluctant Cisco to use his vibe abilities to open up a new breach so that he can stop the Phantom Menace. No, that's not right. Once and for all. Well, anyway, Barry, he's become a little too overconfident. And despite that plan working fairly well, Zoom gets away, kidnaps Wally, and demands that Wells gives the Flash's speed to him in exchange. Being a hero, Barry agrees, and shortly afterwards, he is helpless to stop Zolomon from getting away with Caitlin in his grasp. Oh.
Barry. Sometimes I wish I was there with Team Flash so I could I could help them make better decisions. Not at
oh
the
my
really...
God, guys, did you not read issue 165 where this happened exactly?
Well, still, if only someone was there with a sense of reason at certain times. But I don't want to be there in the dangerous time zone. I don't want to get hurt or anything.
it does seem like they put themselves in these situations that I can't relate to, because they seem. Oh, I mean, besides the superpowers and stuff like that, they just seem so outrageous. Like. I understand, like, you've got the thematic elements of family and of, you know, morality and the way that a child is raised you know, changes can change the outcome for that, you know, person in their lifetime as to, you know, what kind of person they are. But really deciding to, you know, sacrifice your speed for Wally's life? I mean, there wasn't any other alternative?
I don't know. I'm not sure. We will discuss that and more on this. I have very mixed feelings about this episode because there was so much to love. They really threw me for a loop a few times. But there's a couple little pieces of news I want to share with us before we start getting into that. First of all, you may have seen this promo if you're watching it live on the CW, but there's a new Chronicles of Cisco that you can watch on the web.
It's a little different than the old Chronicles of Cisco, because this is a video, right?
It is. It's a video, and it's almost like I think the old Chronicles of Cisco, it was just like a blog that he was
writing. It was a blog or a photo. What do you call it? Like Tumblr or something like that.
Right. And it would just, you know, it just had kind of cute little stories about Cisco and things. And it kind of connected to the show a little bit. But this was more of just, we were watching another extra scene from the show, or it could have been from the show. And it was very interesting. And I actually think it did connect very much with this episode. I think it was almost Cisco was trying to make, I don't want to spoil anything. It's because it's a fun episode to watch. But he was trying to make the Flash suit bulletproof, right?
Just firing a gun in the lab, you know, no protection, no. I don't think he even had eye protection. I mean, no, what are they trying to teach kids here?
Yeah,
it's horrible. Come on. When
you're making your suits bulletproof, wear protection. But anyway, it was. I think it was connected to this. I think it may have been after this episode. You know, trying to help Barry have a little bit of protection.
Maybe. I felt like it was before just because the helmet was taunting Cisco.
Oh, that's true, too. That is true, too. Hadn't thought about that. But either way, it's pretty funny. Yeah, check it out. And you can get it at the CW, I guess, you know, CWTV.com. You can find it there. It's CW.com/the CW/Chronicles of Cisco. But just do a Google search. You'll be able to find it.
For Chronicles of Cisco, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. CWTV.com/Chronicles of Cisco is where I went to, I think. So check that out. And I think there's going to be more upcoming probably through the rest of this season, I would think.
It sounds like it based on the promo that I saw on TV.
So I'll be interested to kind of see what happens from that. Also, the season 2 finale has wrapped. So as far as production goes, they've finished filming it, and I guess now they would go into some editing stuff and getting it prepared to air.
All post-production, yep.
So, and that, I guess, I think I saw Grant Gustin tweet some stuff about that they had just finished, or I think it was
he
him.
He tweeted, and Greg Berlanti, I think, was the one that I might have seen.
Okay, all right. So, you know, they know what's going to happen. Now we just have to wait a few weeks to find out where they're going after the large events of this week. All right. Well, let's get into this. I have some strong opinions about this, but I do want to get into some of the other, you know, basic stuff as well. I guess the overall theme of this week was family. Would you agree?
I would agree. That was a very strong theme for a couple of the storylines.
Right. And they started off with that, with Zoom's origin, which was, hard to watch.
It was a pretty intense opening. I think I might have even tweeted or texted you.
You did.
Since I got to see these before, and I was like, it probably was one of the darkest openings for the show.
Yeah, even though, I mean, you know, the flashbacks to Barry's tragic beginnings, you know, with his mom, those were pretty dark, but this was a lot deeper, a lot more serious, I think. So it had a lot of the same.
It was very inspired by like a Tarantino kind of twist to it. It just, you know, man comes back from war and goes kind of crazy.
Yeah, and it was interesting, though, because I think they filmed some of it at some of the same angles that they did the scenes with young Barry from the first season.
Oh,
and even the same almost the same lighting, you know. And so I saw a lot of parallels between those scenes. And obviously,
totally,
I mean, that was definitely intentional. But I mean, even yeah. down to those kind of details. So you know, Barry's childhood versus Hunter Zolomon's childhood, and I gotta say the government from Earth 2, they need to really do something about the orphanages, the completely heartless orphanages.
Like right in front of the boy, let's just re-mention what his parents did to him.
Yeah, and not offer any kind of a any kind of a sympathy or kindness to this poor kid. Jeez. Now I heard some people questioning this. Help me remember. I know obviously his father murdered his mother, but what happened to his father? Did he kill himself after that? Is he in
the... you know, I don't know that they actually said what his father had done, but he may have committed suicide then.
Okay. I know either way it was tragic. I mean, no matter what, it definitely screwed this kid up permanently. I guess permanently. There might be a little bit of that kid down there somewhere. We can talk about that. But that obviously was huge. Now, Barry, they showed scenes from young Barry I don't think we'd ever seen before with him holding Iris's hand. Do you recall ever seeing that? As she kind of reached for his hand, taking him up the stairs.
I was watching that and I was like, had we seen this whole sequence with her on the stairs? And it seemed slightly familiar, but I don't remember which episode it would be from. And, you know, it seems like it wasn't something that they just shot for this, that they was something we had seen part of before, but
right.
Well, you know, that's a good point. I don't know.
The reason I mention it is because, you know, that became his family. He still has his dad and we know the whole story behind that, but that became his family. So these aren't necessarily the families that are biologically related, you know, the way that Hunter Zolomon had the problems with his. He lost that, just like Barry did, but didn't gain any other kind of a family with anybody else, like Barry did with the West family. So that obviously is huge, but
yeah,
for Barry. But it's also huge, I think, for the other not peripheral character so much, but the other members of the team, like Sisko.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, just quick update here. His father did go to prison, according to Wells.
Oh, okay. All right.
See, so again,
I couldn't remember
very
if they
much
said
a
when
parallel
he was going to the orphanage. Yeah.
Look yeah. Again, they didn't mention it at the beginning with the orphanage part, but when Wells was recounting Hunter's famous trial and all that kind of stuff,
oof,
he mentioned that. So, Sisko is you know. We've seen his family a little bit, right? His brother and his mother, I believe, were the characters we've been introduced to. But
uh-huh.
They don't really factor much into Sisko's day-to-day life. But the family aspect is definitely the, as Barry tells him, you know, it's Caitlin and Wells and Joe and everybody else. Those people are your family. They're, you know, because they're the ones that are here with you every week on Tuesday nights.
Right. No,
I don't think he went that far to say that. Yeah.
No, but so, and he told Sisko because Sisko was worried. Sisko was worried about him going the path of Reverb, you know, and really finding his literal dark side. But that is the sense of family that is going to help him in this sort of second life that Sisko has once he got exposed to the particle accelerator and got the vibe power. So there's another part of the family.
Right, whether it's your biological family or, you know, just really close friends that you consider family or even just good friends, you know, it's that connection that you have with other people that, you know, a lot of shows tend to say, you know, this is what makes people good is that they have this connection to other, you know, people, other humanity. And all the people that are evil, you know, they're the ones they don't. you know, they don't have anybody for them. They were cast out or, you know, on their own or something like that, which, you know, I think there's a good argument for that, you know, sort of thing that, you know, the more you're around people that love and care for you, the more loving and caring you will most likely turn out to be.
Yeah. As a teacher, I see that a lot. And I see kids going through various degrees of that on both extremes. And so it's definitely true. So, you know, think about that as you're hanging out with your friends or raising your own kids or whatever it is you do in your life. But, they focused on that with Wally as well. Wally became, I think, a bigger part of the actual family in this episode. He'd been there, he'd been developing that relationship, but now I really feel as if he's part of the family.
Well, he's got his own room with, I mean, heck, you know, what college-age student wouldn't want a Frederick Douglass poster on his wall? I mean, it's the rage.
And no beer in his room.
And no beer, right. I mean, well, you know, we can assume he's probably, well, remember, because Barry wouldn't let him drink when they were at the club earlier in the season either.
Well, yeah, he's not 21 yet, so.
Yeah, we assume that he's not 21 yet, and...
So I have some, you know, thoughts about Wally in here, but I wanted to make sure we mentioned that he was part of the family, and I think this episode really kind of solidified that and is going to bring him in the fray as a bigger, more important character, which is no surprise, I think, to anybody that knows the history of the Flash comics. But
right, so, and I would assume we are only, you know, at minutes away of the next episode of Barry, you know, just going, oh, look, it's me, Barry. I'm the Flash to Wally.
You think so,
that's
huh?
What Barry seems to do. Well, like I've mentioned before, Barry is kind of an attention whore when it comes to that sort of thing. It's like he, I don't know, he's very frivolous with his secret identity.
He is, although he may not be now. I mean, he may have different feelings now that he doesn't have his speed.
True.
But we will see. We will see. I'll come back to Wally here in just a little bit. But I thought it was really interesting that they did bring up in this episode, because it really wasn't even necessary, I don't think. But they did bring up Wells still looking for Jesse. But Joe is helping Wells look for Jesse. So it almost is like those two are making this kind of connection because of Jesse and Joe helping him look for her. And Wells is struggling with his family, with his, you know, his biological family, with Jesse. Joe's getting closer to his with Wally. And so you've got these two characters that kind of contradict each other, much like Barry and Hunter there. But I think it's interesting that they have this sort of interesting relationship. Wells even goes to Joe to ask him to stop Barry.
And that must have been really tough. I mean, Wells doesn't usually like talking to anybody, or Harry doesn't like talking to anybody. But what I found most interesting about that is Joe seems to be over any residual issues that he has because Harry looks like Eobard Thawne Wells,
right,
you know, from season one, which for a while people were really having a hard time getting over that, and Joe seems to have gotten past that. So I thought that was really cool. And like you said, they're kind of growing closer together as two parents, you know, coming at it from different directions. But, you know, I think as you and I'll agree, you know, that, you know, the just being a parent, you know, bonds you with other people that are parents, and there's always something that you know, you can learn and
You can relate to people that have gone through the same experiences.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's pretty natural. Well, I guess natural in a situation like this, but somebody that might be identical to somebody. I've known a lot of twins in my time, and you get to learn that each twin has a definite personality that could often be very, very different than the other twin. I have a twin this year in my class, and his twin sister is in another class, and they could not be more different than each other. And while they don't look alike, but you know, you still know that they're twins. And so I think that's pretty natural that after a while, Joe would get over that, especially considering how much Harry Wells has helped with the team. But, you know, there's been some setbacks too. But
yeah,
I think Joe's a smart enough guy and a kind-hearted enough guy to look past stuff that Harry didn't actually do to treat him the way that he deserves to be treated, whatever that may be.
Yeah, yeah.
So the team, you know, that it is one big family. I mean, they definitely hammer that into us every week. You can really see the relationships growing, not growing. I mean, how strong they have grown. And I think, like I said, I think they're going to be bringing Wally into this very tight-knit family. Hopefully they don't have to get rid of anybody. Other shows that we have been watching.
I hope not. Well, and my only gripe about that is that they kind of bring Iris in and try to shoehorn her into something to do at the lab. It's like, hey, I'm here. You know, she's got her job at Picture News, CCPN.
Yeah.
But, you know, then she shows up. She's like, hey, is there something I can do? And it's like, oh, sure. Come help us, you know, sort vials or whatever.
Well, I would love to see them kind of just here and there throw in her interaction with the science team, I guess, if you want to call it, you know, at Star Labs, with just being more of a friendly drop by, you know, more than she's actually there to help. Because I'm not sure that she's really suited to help with those kinds of things. For instance, this week, I think, believe it or not, she actually, it worked pretty well where she was really just kind of coming to hang out and get some advice or feel better about her relationship with, you know, her editor guy that she's trying to date.
Paul, I think.
Scott.
Isn't it Scott? Right. That's what I said. Scott.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I think it would work okay if she did that, but I agree with you. They are trying to kind of shoehorn her in there because of, you know, she doesn't really have those skills. All right, so here's what I want to do. There's a lot of stuff I'd like to speculate with you about and ask you and get some theories and things like that.
I like speculating.
I got to get some stuff off my chest. I have got to get some stuff off of my chest with this particular episode that I am not entirely pleased with. Like I said, there's a lot in this episode to love, to really be excited about, and some performances and things like that. But oh my gosh, there were just some things that made me upset, and my entire family. We were all kind of yelling at the TV. I'll start with kind of a minor one, but right at the beginning, hey, what's up with the not mentioning Supergirl's Earth here?
It did seem like that was the sequence where he went to Supergirl's Earth, right? But he quickly forgot the shock of returning when they were like, yeah, you are so fast now. You're like four times faster. He's like, really? I am. And it's like, dude, did you just forget that you've been gone somewhere else for like a week?
I have a couple problems with that. Number one is I thought it was a great crossover, and I thought they should reference it just a little bit more, even if it's just, oh, man, I got a story to tell you. And then, you know, maybe they get distracted and have to tell him later. But my other problem with that is he just went through a breach to another Earth, which is what they spent a good part of this episode trying to figure out how to do. And he didn't even mention that he could do it. I mean, that's one of those things that, you know, if Wells could say, you know, the breaches are closed, we don't know how to get them open. He's like, well, actually, I know we can get them open. I just did it. But,
you know, now that you point it out that way, I'm like, boy, that is pretty stupid. You're absolutely right on that.
I didn't even think about that
aspect of it.
He didn't even necessarily have to be the one to open the breach, but just at least mention that it's possible. He didn't even mention it.
And like you said, these are things that could be corrected with one line of, like, literally one line of dialogue, like less than like 10 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm.
Now, so that was some of my complaints about the crossover, because like I said, I really enjoyed that crossover. I thought it was fun. And I would have liked to see them do something about that. All right. Another problem I had here, and again, this is kind of with the writing. And, you know, I went back and I looked to see what episodes. Now, Joe Parricchio.
I was calling him Parricchio.
Parricchio and David Cobb, they have actually been involved in writing some episodes of The Flash. Some they were part of the writing staff, right? Uh-huh. Or they wrote the teleplay or something like that. But and the ones that I saw weren't particularly weak episodes. Fastlane, Fury of Firestorm were some of them. Escape from Earth 2, David Cobb was a part of. So okay. they were some pretty exciting episodes. But I don't know. There was a lot of mistakes, or not mistakes, just things they brushed over or overlooked that were hard. For example, Sisko opens the breach. Zoom comes through.
Yeah.
Fine, I get it.
Maybe we saw that, and then we saw it close behind him.
And maybe he can sense the breaches or something like that. That's how he zoomed over to the little hospital area, wherever they were. But then he went back. He went back to Earth 2 at one point.
He did.
From That's there, right, he came back to Earth 1. He took Wally. He took Wally to Earth 2 and
put him
in the
cage. It's open. Okay, so... I agree. I did think this at one point, but didn't the breaches exist and then open and close like when Jesse was kidnapped again and Zoom brought her back to Earth One, or
sure.
when Gorilla Grodd got thrown open, like a breach was open. It wasn't like it was just this portal that was open and sitting there. It was like not there, and then it would open and do whatever and transfer somebody, and then it would close again behind them. But for whatever reason, Zoom was able to work with that. So that may not be completely out of the ordinary.
Absolutely. I completely agree. However, because it wasn't mentioned, it really felt clunky. It really felt like it didn't make a lot of sense. It was so hard to get this breach open in the first place. They should have said, well, look, once we open it, there's a possibility of it kind of swinging back and forth like it was before. You know, that's all it would have taken. And look, I'm not an expert, and I'm just want to get these few things off my chest.
Sure.
And then we'll kind of speculate about stuff. But
that's fine. I mean, you know, and I understand. And I'm not saying it's not an issue, because again, like that occurred to me as well, but I'm just trying to play devil's advocate here.
Basically. Oh, sure. Absolutely. And I appreciate that, because some of these things can be explained. And I don't know. Maybe I was just in a mood this week while I was watching this one, because usually this stuff doesn't bother me too much. But
the fact that you have like more than one thing here is really surprising me.
Well, it just really stood out to me. And like I said, my family and I were shouting at the TV. It ended, and my wife really said, "Really? That's it?" I mean, this is my wife talking, and usually she doesn't comment like that. But
right.
So my other thing is just there were a lot of things that just seemed out of character for them. I mean, let's have a plan before we open this breach. Let's have a plan to stop Zoom, and knowing that it's Zoom, let's have a backup plan and a backup plan. This guy's dangerous. They know he's dangerous. It's the most dangerous person they've faced so far, and they need to be prepared for this if they're going to open this. They can't just go, well, let's open it, and then we'll go get him because I'm fast now. And
yeah, I mean, Barry's biggest menace so far this season appears to be his cockiness. I mean,
yes, and
he's expressing that.
I can actually look past that, and I don't have a problem with that. That is stuff that makes me scream at the screen, you know?
Yeah.
But he is. He's gotten a little cocky, and he's starting to monologue, you know? It's a la The Incredibles there. Watch out for that monologuing. You can't. So
I did see that. I mean, so this stuff bothered me, I think, as I was watching it. But because there was so much stuff in this episode, I instantly forgot about that, you know, by the end of the episode. Because
right.
there was other stuff I was like, wow, now how does this all work?
Okay, so you know what? I'm done moaning. I promise, because I do want to talk about the fun stuff in this episode and the exciting stuff that's going to lead to the end of the season. And I know by next episode, I'm going to go, all right, I see how this all fits together. But you know, it was just a few things that stood out to me. But I don't want to harp on that. So
no, that's cool. I mean, and I was just for me to add in one thing. My only issue really was just kind of as I mentioned earlier, the ease at which he decided to give up his speed, which might make me think that maybe they did have another plan in place, but I can't tell yet.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, based on what we saw from the preview from next week, it didn't appear, but that's just a preview. So we'll kind of see how that goes. And you know, also I will say, as far as the losing the speed, that's nothing new. I mean, in the Flash comics, they lose and gain their speed all the time. I mean, that's a very comic book flashy thing to do. That's,
sure. Well, I don't. Yeah, it's just a very comic booky thing to do. That really reminded me of, especially with after he gives the speed away and Zoom gets it. I thought Zoom was going to explode or something first, and I was like, oh, it serves him right. But
oh, during his nice Speed Force climax face that he had there.
Exactly. But it when he comes and then grabs Barry afterwards, it reminded me very much of the sequence in Superman 2 where Superman decides to get rid of his powers and Zod, you know, steps onto that moment and, you know, is like crushing his hand and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think part of it is the reason that he gave up his speed. And it was because Zoom had Wally. And now Wally is family, and I don't want to discount all of the stuff we talked about with family here a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
It's just that Wally hasn't been around very long. Barry doesn't have a real close relationship with him quite yet. And so I did see a lot of people complaining that he gave it up awful fast to save Wally. But I wanted to kind of defend that a little bit. First of all, I think, you know, Barry really is a true hero, and I think he would – if he really saw no other alternative, I think he would give up his speed to save anybody.
Sure.
I you know, that's what a hero does. And you don't even really give it a second thought unless I said, you know, like there is another option. But I think there's a couple other reasons, though, that they picked Wally to take. One is I think everybody else was supposedly fairly safe. They were all in hiding at Star Labs in that room, and they had the guns for protection, which I still think guns are an absolute pointless way to defend yourself against speedsters, but that's beside the point.
I don't know how – yeah, I did not know how they were thinking they were going to shoot Zoom with that, but whatever. So you're right. The rest of Barry's family – so if Zoom was really latching onto that family hook, Iris and Joe and, you know, pretty much everybody else Barry cares about is in that – time vault room, which
right, except for Jesse, who we don't know where she is. She's in Keystone City. Henry, which I would assume Zoom probably doesn't know where Henry is. You know, I'm sure Barry does, but even then, he's probably not that close. And I guess you could throw Patty in there too, Patty Spivot. But she's, you know, not really accessible as well. So Wally seemed like a fairly logical choice to pick.
Yeah, I agree. And
I have another reason, too, that I'll get to here in a little bit. I'm not going to spoil that quite yet.
Okay.
But, you know, I mean, you know he's going to betray you. Why they really kind of went through with the deal and not just chop Zoom, I'm not sure. I mean, I guess that would have made this the season finale. But, but you know, come on. You know he's going to betray you. You know he's going to get away. You can't do that stuff. You can't make that mistake. All right. I have a question for you. Now, Barry gets Zoom locked up in the little, you know, speed boot. Who my wife thought should have, they probably should have made just a quick reference to that again, too, because she had forgotten where they had got that. But I remember that they've had those things to stop people that were metahumans.
Right. But, from the season premiere, I think.
Yeah. So, and that was a long time ago, but.
Yeah.
Now, when he's got him there, and we've seen this for a couple weeks because it was in the preview for this one, but Zoom looks at him and says, you can't lock up the darkness. But what we didn't
see... could you repeat that again?
What we didn't see in the preview was Barry asked him, what? And then, of course, he gets all black-eyed and, you know, you can't lock up the darkness. That was awful. So maybe you can fix that in post.
Yeah.
that seemed to stand out to me a little bit. Why Barry was asking him that. Did you notice that?
I did. There actually were a couple things that seemed to stick out to me. And yeah, that was one of them. Obviously, you can lock up the darkness. I think that, you know, that's going to be the solution to, you know, so it's going to factor into the solution in some way. But obviously, we just don't have enough information at this point.
Okay. Well, I did find it very interesting that it seemed almost, I don't know, familiar or ominous to Barry as he heard it, and that's why he asked him to repeat it. You know, it was almost like on Like in Star Wars, when Luke's on Dagobah and he's like, something familiar about this place. You know, it's almost like he had heard it in some capacity somehow.
Yeah, I don't recognize it as something we had heard previously, but...
I don't either, but it was just... He seemed to react to that very, very strangely. So we'll kind of keep an eye on that because I'm curious
and
to see if it
maybe they just had some extra dialogue from Tony Todd that they needed to use, and it's like... Oh, wait, you said it in your normal voice? Hang on, ask him to say it again, and we'll use Tony's line reading or whatever. I don't know.
All right, so Barry's lost his speed. Now, what are you thinking? How's he going to get it back? He obviously will get it back, or they'll have to change the title from The Flash to just, you know, The. But...
So, I've got a couple thoughts. One is Wells mentions to Zoom that he can take the Flash's power, but he needs to like calibrate this device. And it appeared that the device that he was working on at the beginning of the episode to make the tachyon thing smaller, so that it would fit in Barry's emblem,
right?
That appeared to be the same device that he modified to steal Flash's power. So, and since he made mention of having to calibrate it, I'm wondering, like, he did take the power, but, you know, maybe it's one of these things where it's like, you know, and maybe Wells has mentioned this, you know, to the team, and we just aren't privy, right, that this is one of their backup plans. But it takes your power, but because I miscalibrated it, as soon as he does X, Y, or Z, you know, you'll get all the power come rushing back to you, you know, or something like that. So I think it probably has something to do with what Wells did because, you know, it's Zoom's just having to trust that he's going to set this up right.
Yeah. Well, that was my thought as well. I think that's going to be key in getting his powers back. Unless... And again, we always come back to this just because of we know what the potential is. But unless it has something to do with Wally as well, which I have no idea how they would do that, and I don't know that they're going to play that this season. But you know, Wally getting any kind of speed force abilities, we'll kind of see.
Oh,
don't think
yeah, people
go there
are passing yet. Around you know vials of speed force. You know, oops, I accidentally spilled some on my my stepbrother.
And he was standing next to an electrical socket when it happened or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think he will probably get it back by the end of next episode, I would think. I don't know. I didn't see anything in the preview that would indicate that he does, but they don't have many episodes left to get it back to him. So
right.
They're going to have to find a way to stop Zoom and hopefully stop him from killing anybody and harming Caitlin since he has her, and they're going to have to find her. All right, I want to come to this before I talk about some things people have been discussing, but Zoom's explanation of how he was able to pull this whole thing off.
Yeah.
With Jay and, okay.
I'm not sure I still understand, that I understand.
I'm not either, but I was really trying to make this work. I've got the little, my little diagrams very similar to the, you know, Barry's Earth diagrams, which end up right. Looking like the Olympic symbol. Okay, so apparently Jay was Zoom's time remnant. So he was able to have a double.
Right. So at some point, what we know is that Hunter was Zoom, and also Hunter was playing as Jay Garrick. Right? Am I right on that?
Yes. Yes. Now on Earth 2, he was the same guy, one body, but he would dress in two different ways.
Right. See, remember, I was saying a long time ago that the only reason that, you know, we believe that Zoom took Jay's powers is because Jay told the story, but it was all from Jay's point of view. So
apparently is not true. Right.
Right. So, Zoom, Hunter, Zoom went back in time and grabbed a previous version of himself and brought him back to the present, which created made him a time remnant, I guess is what they're trying to say, right?
That's what I understood he said.
He like splintered the timeline so that that version of him wouldn't be around anymore. But then we're to also believe that he convinced this earlier version of himself, who is totally apparently happy being a bad guy and doing all this stuff, he convinced this character, this previous version of himself, to allow Hunter to kill him.
That's what he said.
Okay.
So that was a good explanation, by the way. Thank you very much. That's wild. Now, the thing is, in my way of thinking, we'll call him Jay Garrick, right? That would be the past Hunter that he pulled into the present. He wouldn't be the time remnant. Zoom would be the time remnant, wouldn't he? Because once he pulled Jay Garrick from the past, that Jay Garrick no longer exists on that timeline, kind of like the way Eobard Thawne disappeared.
Right.
So wouldn't that make Zoom the time remnant? Either way, it doesn't matter. You still have doubles, but...
Yeah, not necessarily, because Hunter, when he came back into the future, it wasn't the future... It would have been a new future. It would have been a different future than he was in previously, and a different future than the older or the previous version of himself would go to. Mm-hmm. And I just have to say, referring to Jay Garrick now, I just feel weird about that, because if I am understanding this correctly, we have never seen Jay Garrick.
I'm going to just come out and say, yes, that is correct. That is absolutely correct. That is their intention.
So the guy that we saw wearing the weird metal helmet with the wings on it, who called himself Jay Garrick, was not Jay Garrick. And every time we saw Jay Garrick, remember we kept talking about, where does Jay go?
Yep.
He was being Zoom back on Earth 2. So he was freely moving back and forth. And I think that was Hunter, the same Hunter, the entire time. And it was only when he decided that, oh, I need to figure out a way to make Barry faster. Oh, I know, I'll kill myself. So it was only at the very, very end of the whole storyline that we saw when it was the time remnant.
Yeah, I think it was when they went, I think it was when Barry and Sisko and Wells went to Earth 2. He realized that he's going to need somebody in both places.
Right, so it was right after that. So when, in whatever that last episode was before the break, was probably when the time remnant got brought out.
Yeah, and I'm also probably should add that we were extraordinarily wrong in our speculation of how all this worked. It didn't even occur to me like it could be this.
Right. I mean, way back when, I remember I talked about the fact that. Now, I thought it would be that there was that it was Jay Garrick. But
right.
Remember, I had brought up the possibility that Jay Garrick could be Zoom, but the fan backlash of making this speedster would probably be something they weren't going to go for.
Yes.
Well, I can be wrong about so many different things.
Well, you know what? Let's talk a little bit about that, because there has been some very vocal feedback about this episode and what they did with it. And one of them was
good. It means people are paying attention.
Oh, absolutely. So absolutely.
Cool.
But one of them was from somebody that you will recognize, Mark Wade.
Nope.
So,
no. Yeah, the previous writer of The Flash, he wrote most of the 1987 series where Wally was The Flash.
Right. And so he was not pleased with this episode, and he put out a couple tweets to express his displeasure.
Now, he, in his own admission, he had a really crappy day on top of this, and so he was kind of hate tweeting on top of being just in a bad mood from a bad day. So
don't,
you got to forgive him
people
a little
you
bit.
Gotta,
but
you got to be careful. Don't hate tweet. It's dangerous.
Well, yeah, it is the path to the dark side.
So. Why don't you tell me what he tweeted here so we can discuss
yeah,
this?
Yeah, he had like two main tweets. The first one was just, wow, for the first time, hashtag The Flash face planted an episode / reveal. Betrayed all goodwill. Sorry, I watched. Heartbroken. And then he followed it up with, my complaint is bigger than plot. It's about pissing on legacy. Unless there's some J-fix, I'm out. The Flash. It's like, wow.
Wow. He was, yeah, he really took this hard. And I can understand that, especially coming from him. You know, I mean, he put his heart and soul into The Flash for so many years, and I can understand that.
And of course, people called him out for pissing on the legacy of other superheroes that he had changed about in writing, but he didn't want to hear that. So, let's just focus on
that.
He's
got
Flash,
some experience with doing that. But yeah, a little bitter there. But okay, so but I wanted to address another one, a tweet by Greg Berlanti, because, you know, obviously a lot of people kind of feel like Mark Waid. Mark Waid is not alone. And I can understand that. You and I have talked about this, how we want Jay Garrick. Jay Garrick is a hero. Jay Garrick is a classic hero. He is one of the oldest heroes in comic book history. I mean, he has been around for many, many, many years.
You do not take the iconic Golden Age characters. I mean, they are literally icons. And, I mean, there's so much in comics that I feel gets revered when it shouldn't.
Yes.
But I feel that, you know, the Golden Age Flash, you know, like Captain America, because he was around back in the Golden Age as well. You know, characters like that, there's just, you can do stuff with them, but fix it. You know, don't mess it up for everybody.
Well, Greg Berlanti said, and this was his response, probably not specifically to Mark Waid, but to everybody, for those inquiring, we love Jay Garrick and would never make him a baddie. No reinvention. Keep watching. Love that you're asking cues. I'm assuming that's questions. So you know, it's not Jay. This is Hunter Zolomon, people. Hunter Zolomon is Zoom. He is a bad guy. Yes, he said he was Jay Garrick, but he is not. So don't
wait,
worry.
He was lying.
I think. A bad guy lie? What? We'll be okay. I think Jay is going to have some retribution here. I think, or I don't know if that's the right word, but he's going to be part of the show eventually, and I think he will be the hero that we want him to be. We just have to be patient.
Right, and he probably will not be played by Teddy Sears. I would imagine now that they can cast Jay Garrick, and he will not be Teddy Sears.
I would agree with that. So, I want to address this, though, because this could be a possible reveal this season.
Hmm.
Who do we now think is
Hang on. Before you go to that question,
okay,
I apologize for interrupting. But Caitlin couldn't find Jay Garrick on Earth One.
That's true.
Fascinating.
But.
Well, just the fact that, you know, we've got doppelgangers for everybody. So if Jay Garrick is a character that will show up at some point, he's not on Earth One.
Right. Mm. Oh, yes, that's true. She couldn't.
So, I mean, he's going to come from another Earth, but the fact that there wouldn't be a doppelganger on our Earth for him is unique.
It could mean a couple things. So, who do we think? Can I ask a question now?
Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, because it's related, right? Who do we think is the man in the iron mask? Because Hunter Zolomon didn't tell us. He's like, oh, you, what do you say? You wouldn't believe me if I told you.
Oh, that's a hilarious story, I got to tell you, but not right now. See, like, he was able to do it. Why couldn't Barry have just said, oh, yeah, I got this great, I met this hot girl and this, she could fly and stuff. I think it's the real Jay.
You think it's the real Jay? But okay.
I think it's Jay Garrick because he's like, didn't he spell out Jay? Because he spelled out Jay, and when they said, oh, Jay, like Jay Garrick, he like totally freaked out.
Yeah,
he did. Who do you think?
I think that's a really strong possibility. And I think we are going to find out, but I want to throw one other one out that had a lot of evidence in this episode. I think it could be Wally. I think it could be Wally from Earth 2. They mentioned Wally's doppelganger, Joe did, in this episode. that might have been another reason that Zoom took Wally. And again, why you said that's a funny story. And he knew to take Wally. And so that might have been an important thing.
So if that's the case, then when the man in the iron mask freaked out when they were talking about Jay Garrick, he was probably trying to warn them that it was not Jay.
It could be, absolutely. That and he would know. He would probably know that he was calling himself Jay to them or something. And remember, again, as we know, Wally West has powers, has speed powers in the comics. And so could this Earth 2 Wally West already have the speed powers? That's why he's in the Iron Mask. Yeah. That's why Zoom is holding him. It would be a perfect, you know, connection with all of the stuff that happened with Wally in this episode. So
yeah.
Oh, and again, we can't tell, you know, based on, you know, skin color, type, and even size. He was the right size, it looked like, in this episode. So I think I'm going to throw it out there that I think it might be Wally.
All right. Well, supposedly we will find out by the end of the season, or actually in the finale, potentially.
We will. Well, man, there was so much more I could talk about this, and I will be talking about it. And I'm sorry that I spent a good portion of that getting some stuff off my chest, but I think that's important to express as well. I think it's important to talk about the things that we weren't okay with. So, speaking of which, we have a little bit of feedback this week from our friend Mark on Facebook, and I just wanted to address that. I'm going to kind of run down the list here, not read the thing, because we addressed a lot of this stuff, and I think you and I both agree with some of what he said. But he starts off saying, you know, easily one of the weakest episodes of the show to date. Not bad on a whole, but a lot of little bad things that I just couldn't shake. I would agree that it is not one of my favorite episodes. I don't know if it's the weakest one or not. I didn't go back and grade it compared to everything else. But I do agree with you, Mark. A couple things he did not like, same as me. He didn't like that they didn't mention Earth S, you know, Supergirl's Earth.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about this much, but he didn't like how Caitlin spent most of the episode as what he called the girl who happens to be in the room.
I thought Caitlin had some good insight into Iris, and provided some, you know, like obvious duh moments, you know, where it's like, yeah, well, or maybe you're interested in Barry. And she's like, oh my gosh, do I look like that? It's like, you know, come on.
Yeah.
Yes.
I didn't so much have a problem with Caitlin. And again, she's part of the family. She's there. She hangs out, even if it's not a Caitlin focused episode or if she's not the most important. But I think she did serve a few little minor purposes this week that they did need, especially at the end when she was getting, I guess I'll say getting through to Hunter, because he stopped. So maybe there is, like I said, a little bit of that little kid left in him. So he goes on to say Wally was just forced into the episode. I can see that because of the way they did it, I think. But I think because of what we just talked about, I think it might be pretty important. So I didn't feel like it was too forced, but yeah, I don't know. The writing in this was just clunky, as I said. Sisko had a very legitimate crisis of his own identity, but that's okay. Barry talked it away like it was nothing. But, yeah, again, I think that's what you do with family. Sisko did the same thing with Caitlin earlier in the season when or maybe Caitlin actually talked to Sisko about it when Sisko was worried about Caitlin becoming Killer Frost. You know, and then now this one I've seen a lot of people talk about, how Wells gets, you know, every aspect of Hunter's life story from memory and all the details that he said, but he doesn't recognize him without the hair and the beard.
Seemingly from memory. I mean, he was using his little watch thing to check stuff up.
I started thinking about how, you know, people can really change their appearance and not be recognizable. So I don't really so much have a problem with that. What did you think? Did you think it was odd that he didn't recognize Hunter Zolomon?
Now that you point it out, it is kind of weird. But no, it had not. That really had not occurred to me. For the most part, you know, people that watch TV, you know, are relatively observant who watch shows like this stuff. But in real life, like, you know, you're driving to work and, you know, did you see what color that car was that was next to you or?
No. And I got to admit, even some of the highest profile cases, if I had seen, you know, the person that was accused in real life and they were completely shaved or whatever, I really would not give it a second thought. I mean, I might say, yeah, that guy kind of looks like that killer on TV, but I probably wouldn't go, I wonder if it's him.
As a less tragic example, about a year ago, we were at Celebration Anaheim, and we were standing out in front, and we're like, is that Ming-Na Wen from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? And we're like, is it? We could not tell.
We couldn't tell.
I mean, it looked like her.
It still could have been.
It still could have been her. But, you know, I mean, it didn't exactly look like the way she looks on TV. So, you know, and neither of us really wanted to go up and, like, you know, bother her if it was her or be wrong if it wasn't. I guess I probably would have been cooler with it being wrong rather than bothering somebody that doesn't want to be bothered too. So.
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes I wish I had that personality that didn't care what really happened and just go for it. So, well, that's a good example. I remember that. That was crazy.
That was fun for like, because we were tweeting at her for like five minutes seeing if she would answer. Anyway, go on. Sorry, go on with Mark's email.
That's good. So anyway, a couple other things. He did have a problem with the way Jay turned around just very quickly. He didn't like that. And also, just leave the breaches closed. This is all Barry's fault. But you know what? It's all Barry's fault. All of it is. Even the original breach was Barry's fault. So
yeah,
you gotta have that. So, and we'll wrap it up. He's just chatting away. Take him out, Barry. Come on, move over. Hope Wally does a better job. I don't know. Yeah, I agree with you. I think he should just take him out. But one of Barry's fatal flaws, I think, is his arrogance. So yeah, anyway, I'm sure there was some good stuff in there, but I must have missed it. Keep up the great work, guys. Well, thank you, Mark. I appreciate that.
Yeah,
the great insight. Cool. And I agree with so many of those points, and that's why I had a problem with this episode. That's okay. I'll get over it. I still love the show. And as
I don't know. Maybe I just wasn't overthinking a lot on this particular episode. I mean, I just, like I said, it was so chock full of stuff.
Maybe I was having a Mark Wade day too when I saw it. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
That's going to be my new thing. I had a Mark Wade day today.
There were a lot of references in the episode as well. One we kind of teased in our intro there with the Star Wars Anakin Darth Vader analogy that Sisko had for himself, which I know Star Wars things tend to get overused in pop culture as references on TV shows and other movies. I thought this was a really useful way to do this. I mean, you have a character who's really ingrained into pop culture, and that's what he reacts to, and that's how he thinks it's going to be.
Knows that. I mean, it is when you say things like going to the dark side, I really literally hear that on a weekly basis just in my regular life.
Sure.
And I don't even mean from my Star Wars friends. It's just people say that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's just one of those things that people talk about.
Yeah.
In the comic books, Ashley Zolomon is actually Hunter's wife. In the episode here, they made it his mother, which is fine. We had Zolomon committed to the St. Perez Hospital, which is named for DC comic artist George Perez, who most famously drew the Flash for Crisis on Infinite Earths from the early 80s or mid 80s, I guess. We visited Keystone City again, which in the comics is where Wally West, what the city he protected instead of Central City. Zolomon got his powers when he was in an electric shock chair, very much like the one that was used in the Flashpoint storyline in the comics and in the Flashpoint Paradox movie.
That was really cool. That gave me Batman chills when they showed that.
Yeah, I was like, and the fact that like he was wearing a mask that was very reminiscent of Hannibal Lecter's mask in Silence of the Lambs, which also was something Sisko referenced when they talked about the number of kills that he had made. There was also reference to where the breach was in the hospital. Sisko called it a Patch Adams nightmare, which is a reference to the Robin Williams film about the doctor, and that Wells was also talking that there was a podcast about Zolomon on his Earth because of how famous he was with all his killings. So I would say that's presumably the probably the Serial podcast did a special on Zolomon instead of.
Strangely, there's a podcast on this Earth about Zolomon as well.
There is. That's weird.
Yeah, I like that one better. Actually, I like this.
It is funny how that just kind of works out. And it's being hosted by a guy named Jay.
Hey, yeah, look at that. Jay, so, see? Yeah. I wonder if that podcast was a reference to us. I'm going to say it was. So
okay,
thank you.
Well,
thank you to the Flash writers. I appreciate that.
That's so awesome. I appreciate it. Thanks for Raiders Room.
And having said that, I suppose we better wrap it up. So for this week, I
get in, get out. I understand. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to make him mad. I don't want to overstay my welcome. But yeah. We gotta go find Ming-Na Wen now. So you and I got to run for this week, but there'll be much more to talk about next week, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely. And if you guys enjoyed this episode, be sure to stop by iTunes and leave us some feedback. And you can also email us at scarletvelocity@randomchatter.com if there's something you want to say there. Or you can tweet at us in 140 characters or less at Scarlet Velocity. Or post on our Facebook page like Mark did at facebook.com/scarletvelocitypodcast.
Yeah, and you can check out our other shows. We do Green Justice and Arrow podcast. That'll be back next week. And Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, that is on every week until the end. You can find all those at randomchatter.com. Of course, all the shows are available in the iTunes Store and through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And, of course, if you enjoyed this podcast, we would love for you to share it with your friends. I've seen new likes on Facebook. I always appreciate that. So it's great to have new listeners join in. Share it with everybody else so they can join along the fun with us as well. So, and remember, life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for The Flash can be found at www.cwtv.com. The Flash and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.